So appreciate those songs and things. How about those Hoosiers? One to go. Beat those evil Hurricanes down there. Playing well. And how about those Bears?
Oh, yeah.
At least two of us are happy about it. Tyler's happy. So I got to change my sleep pattern. I watch the first half when they get thumped, and then when I fall asleep, and then I'll wait and I wake up, they've won. And I miss the best half. So I want to talk a little bit today. God's, you know, sometimes we lose the fact God's still on the throne. And he uses everything for his purposes. His creation, all the authorities that he puts in place is for his work and his glory. And, you know, sometimes we look at good things as good, bad things as bad, but it can be the opposite. And I tell you, as we look at dieting and looking at food, and you ever read what types of food are healthy and what you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating? You know, donuts, candy, Snickers bars, those are all really good, but they're all really bad. You know, you look at kale comes up, and spinach, and those are really bad, yet they're really good for you. So some things we got to understand. Good things aren't good for us. Bad things are really for our benefit, even though we may not like them. But God uses things. God uses people, and for the good in our lives. And he also uses not only people, but he uses governments and authorities for his purposes. I want you to keep in mind, as far as people goes, you know, he chooses people not based on ability, but availability. He chooses you on not who already has a voice, but who will become a voice for him. His choices are mostly, you know, if you read all the Bible, they're inconspicuous, they're inexperienced, and they're imperfect. Just like we are, you know, they don't stand out. You know, they don't necessarily have a name. They don't have a super talent that he's looking for. Not a powerful person generally. Just ordinary people. That's who God uses the most, is ordinary people. We'll start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 31 this morning. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." And sometimes a lot of people think we're never good enough to do what God wants us to do. We're not smart enough. We're not talented enough. We don't know enough. But that's not who God's looking for. You know, if you just look at the people God used in the Bible. And I've got just a few of them here. You know, Esther. Esther was a young Jewish girl. That's it. She was a young Jewish girl. God used her to save a whole nation of people. To save Israel. Save the Jewish people. God worked out those incidences in her life that put her in a place where he knew she was going to follow through and be obedient. Mary, another young teenage girl. Nothing special. Not rich. You know, pretty poor. But chosen to bear Jesus. You know, and to go through what she did, but to save the world. She bore Jesus. You go to the Old Testament. Nehemiah, you know, he was a cupbearer for the king of Persia. And he was a cupbearer for the king of Persia while they were, because he was in exile along with the rest of Israel. And he was used to rebuild the wall and restore Jerusalem. You know, cupbearer wasn't the greatest of jobs. You got to see the king, but you took the sip first just in case somebody was trying to do away with the king, you know? So that wasn't the greatest of jobs. He was dispensable. But he came indispensable to God. And God used him to build the wall and restore Jerusalem. Noah, out in the middle of nowhere, basically in the desert, became a shipbuilder. Can you imagine the people thought he was crazy? What are you doing? First of all, it hadn't ever rained. And he ain't near water. But he's building a huge ship. I think God increased his knowledge. Gave him the wisdom to do what he did. Gideon. Gideon, who stated himself, you know, he was in hiding. He was scared. He was afraid. He only stated, you know, was he not only the least tribe of Israel, he was the least person of his tribe. You know, I'm the lowest of the low. You know, and yet he was called a mighty warrior by God. David, he started out a teenage shepherd, not thought too highly by his family. You know, he went to deliver food to those looking at Goliath, and of course they said, what are you doing here? You need to go back home. You know, they didn't think much of him. Yet he followed God into battle many times. He had victories a lot of times, including Goliath. He became a king. You know, God used him in special ways. But you got David, who was a murderer, a liar, a fornicator. And, you know, he did all the top 10 the wrong way. And yet, God said he was a man after his own heart. He's not looking for perfect people. Moses started out in a basket to save him. Got picked up by the enemy, so to speak, and raised. He wasn't used till he was out in the desert as a shepherd. A shepherd out in the desert who couldn't speak well. When he was called to save the Jews from Egypt and give the law. A man who God talked to face, he said. A man God described as more humble than anyone else on earth. Abraham always wasn't the honest one. He lied about a few things, but God used him to build a nation. God even used a donkey, so it's not limited to people. He can use animals too. Use the donkey. You know, Paul might have been a little different, as he was highly educated and a leader, but he was a leader of persecuting believers. He was persecuting Christians. God even used that, because Timothy, we think of as the first martyr who was stoned to death for speaking out about Jesus. You know, Paul was there approving that, condoning that. And yet, you know, through all that, that was to scatter, because God told them to go scatter to the ends of the earth, and they weren't doing that. So God used Timothy to scatter them, and the word went forth at that time. So there was even a plan in that when that happened. And then Paul later, we know, the persecutor of the Jews, the persecutor of Christians, became one of the apostles. Although he said, I'm the least of the apostles, after he was called by God. You look at the apostles. You got 12 people there. You got mostly fishermen. You got a tax collector. You got a zealot. A zealot that there was part of the group wanting to rise up and fight against Rome. And other occupations we don't know for sure. Probably a few more fishermen in the group. But they were all chosen to learn and to spread God's word. They weren't trained. They weren't trained in spreading God's word. They weren't trained in things they weren't thought that highly of. They weren't always strong in their faith. You know, after feeding 5,000, then they were afraid of the wind and the water. If I feed 5,000 people from nothing and you're part of it, you should learn something. We should learn things. You know, always wondering if you read them after each miracle, then the next problem comes up. How are we going to do that? How can we get through this? How can we fix this? After they've seen what God's already done. But we do the same. Some had pretty bad tempers. They argumentative, probably get in a fight every now and then. I think that's how you get the name Sons of Thunder from Jesus. James and John were probably at it quite a bit. They were used. Two of the closest people to Jesus out of the 12. Some were selfish and prideful. As they argued at the Last Supper, who would be first? Who would be the greatest in God's kingdom? Even at the end, all of them fled. Peter denied, and Thomas doubted. Jesus never gave up on them. He said, Peter's the rock. He built the church on that. Christianity began. These 12 began to preach, began to tell stories, began to tell who Jesus was and why he was there. You know, you've all got stories to tell. You've all got a ministry here. You've all got a purpose here. You know, and many people, you know, I think of Seth that's been here, Seth Bales, you know, how his struggle has been since he was born. Yet he's sharing God. He's sharing love. You know, many here have ministries. You know, we got Annie. Annie does Bible studies. Annie does the homeless help downtown every month. Has been for years now. That's a ministry. She was called to do that. Joni has the Emmanuel Quilt Ministry. Called to do that, to share. Just to share with others. Denisa has the Restoring Hearts Ministry. Again, called to help people who's struggling. And you know, you have one too. There's probably many others I've missed, but you have one. It may just be with your neighbors, but you have one. You have a purpose and a call. It may be being a prayer warrior. That's not the least you can do. Praying's the most you can do. I want to turn to Acts 4, verses 1 through 13. Acts 4, 1 to 13. And it says, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Now, this is after the Christ arose and the Holy Spirit came. And Peter and John were talking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know, we see what the Holy Spirit can do with courageous, but unschooled, ordinary people. People who desire God, want to be obedient in service to Him. He'll provide what you need. And likewise, when you talk to people, you'll disturb them. You'll disturb a good many people when you start talking about Jesus, telling them about Jesus. As it says, the Holy Spirit will turn that into astonishment to those that will listen, those that will hear, those that need to hear it. Every single believer is called to be fulfill the purpose of God. And that goes until you go home. It doesn't end. You have a purpose here your whole entire life. He's given you the ability to do it if you just be obedient to do it. Are going to have an invitation in just a little bit. I've got a little more to go. Because God also uses governments for His purposes as well. And they can impose punishment as consequences of sin, which generally leads back to restoration or just straight wrath when God when sin reaches its fullness in a group. And I think we see that. He uses both good and evil nations for His purposes. And He uses people as well. But He used both evil people as judgment on Israel for sin when the Assyrians were allowed to destroy them and take them into captivity. The Assyrians weren't nice people, but God used them. He did the same way with the Babylonians. The Babylonians overran them, destroyed Israel, took them into captivity. There's all with a plan to show them their need for God. You know, it wasn't just punishment. It was for the plan for restoration. It's to bring them back. Bring them back into a right relationship with Him. So God uses evil sometimes to bring us back to Him. He uses His judgment on us. You know, He also uses Israel when He gave them Canaan. They went and wiped out a lot of different people that lived in that land. Some people might think, well, that wasn't very cool. That wasn't very good. You know, them people just lived there. But you got to realize those people were evil. They did all the evil things. Worship of other gods, child sacrifice, all these things. They weren't good people. And that God will last until, as He says, that sin comes to fullness. And that's what had happened with Canaan. Those people, their sin had come to the fullness. And Israel was used to as punishment, as judgment on them. You know, even Saul, you know, he was supposed to go in and wipe all the Amalekites out. You know, said every man, woman, and child. You know, the Amalekites had reached the fullness of their sin. You know, judgment would come. Of course, Saul didn't do it. You know, I said, what's that sound I hear? You know, when the sheep and the cows, he was supposed to get rid of everything. And he didn't. And it come back to harm them later on. But God uses people, uses countries, he uses things to, for his wrath and judgment on sin when that limit's reached. And I think we need to look at things around us as well. Maybe it looks a lot of time we just concentrate on, well, that's evil people, that's a greedy people, or somebody trying to be a hero. But in it all, just consider perhaps God has a plan in it. God's working in that. You know, we look at places around the world right now, and you know, I don't know if God uses the term dumpster fire, but I look at many Minnesota, and to me, Minnesota looks like a dumpster fire. Venezuela looks like a dumpster fire right now. And I think he's working in both those places. You know, they went into Venezuela. Trump and the U.S. is taking shots from countries and even from our own Congress people on the reasons and why and all of that. But he captured Maduro and his wife for trial about drugs. And some say, well, it's all about the oil. He just, you know, they just want the oil. And others, it's about drugs. You know, it's about the fentanyl and things. And I think it's about both of those things and more. You know, I think God is working things. You know, we find out when it happened, Venezuelan people, some of them said it's about time. You know, they were in such a downgraded position. A lot of poverty there. Socialism did not work. And so a lot of them said it's about time somebody came in and took him. Many were cheering. You won't see that anymore because the cheering ones are now being jailed. They're being put in prison in Venezuela. But it is about drugs. I think partially is them and Colombia next door run so much of the drug cartels and run them through the U.S. So the drug cartels are run, they know, run by the military personnel, by the government leaders. That's who runs those countries. Fentanyl and other drugs. You know, I think part of it is about saving U.S. lives and others' lives. But those countries are full of gangs, full of terrorists. And Maduro, a while back, he named it Secret Summit. Wasn't so secret, but it's Secret Summit. When they had Hamas and Palestinians and Hezbollah and Venezuelan recruits to have terrorist training on Margarita Island. And they know this took place. So that's the things that was going on, which is off the coast of Venezuela. You know, it is about the oil, but it's about control of where it goes. You know, China gets 60% and 60 to 70% of its oil from Venezuela. In Venezuela, they've estimated, has about $17 trillion worth of oil underground that they're sitting on. It's about oil, but it's about controlling where it goes and making effects on others. You know, there's been controlled elections there. It's another reason. Maybe the people want liberated. There's been controlled elections since Chavez to Maduro to maintain socialism and those in power. They're not going to give it up. So you have those in charge, and then you have everybody else. Notice also that Iran is starting to have protests with their people. They're starting to take over areas and demand changes. You know, Iran wants change. By the way, China gets the rest of the oil from Iran. So there's a lot of countries involved in this, and for a lot of reasons. And I think just maybe God is working in all this to save some people, to free some people from conditions that they're in. Maybe taking things away from evil people. But I think you just consider all that's going on and know God is in control. And he's using these incidences for his purposes. And God ordains all people for his purposes. He's got a plan. He's using them to do what he wants done. You are called for something that he wants you to do with him. You know, he wants to work with you on it. It's not just telling you to do. He wants to work with you on these things. Things we might not understand. I want to close with Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, keep in mind, God's in control. And his plans are going to come true. And they're going to come true through all of us. So I think when you see all this thing, just watch and consider what God may be doing or what the possibilities may be. Because, again, we can't understand God, but he's working these things. And God works them through all of us. So be obedient. And just be available. Become a voice. And God will help you do that. Let's pray.